Senior Focus. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Senior Focus. I'm Anne-Marie Currie, your presenter for this session. And as we are rugging up and it's winter and we're in the depths of a icy time and the temperatures have been very low overnight, I'm sitting in a warm studio here enjoying sun on my back and thinking about the things that are important in this program. One of the things that we've focused on quite a lot has been highlighting seniors who are doing positive things with their lives, seniors who are inspiring in the way they live their lives. And I've had the good fortune to celebrate with friends having birthdays in their 90s and one turning 100. That was very special. And also attending the world premiere of the film James and Izzy, where Izzy celebrated her 102nd birthday on stage at the premiere of this amazing film about her turning 100. And so it's been quite a year for looking at people who are aging well and enjoying themselves in their aging process, who are tackling things with a positive mental outlook and overcoming whatever issues and barriers and things that might be arising around them. And just reflecting on different ways people prepare themselves, because people don't reach these heights of old age and happiness by sitting on their behinds and just staring into space. There's quite a lot of planning and work gone on to how this happens, and I enjoy interviewing people and finding out more about what their planning was. One particular friend told me that he always planned in decades. So when once he turned 70, he never really thought he was going to make 70, but once he turned 70, then he started his 10-year plan sequence. So he identified what he wanted to be like when he was 80, what physical state he wanted to be in, and then he went about looking at how he would achieve that. He's now counting days into his next century. Because he turned 100 in May, he's actually counting days. But he said, soon I'll be counting months, and soon I'll be counting 1 year into the next century and so on. So he has got a plan for living much longer than just where he is currently, which is quite amazing when you think about it. Now, of course, there's genes come into this, and there's a certain amount of good fortune, but there's a large amount of it is personality and attitude. A large amount of it is heart. He lives with great heart. He lives with great interest in other people. He's not just focused on himself. And, you know, for people to lift their game and actually look at giving back to society and finding things that help other people and focusing that way, it takes energy, it takes commitment, but it also means you've got to maintain yourself at the same time. There's got to be a balance. So I'm very impressed at the people who succeed at this, and I'm looking at my own challenge right now. I've been looking at the last 3 months and reviewing things and thinking, I'm about now where I expected to be 3 months ago, and the words of encouragement that people gave me 3 months ago, but when they also said to me, you need to take it slowly and you need to think about where you're going to be 3 months from now, because it's going to take that time of adjustment before you will be ready to really look ahead and expand on what you're doing. And they were so right, and I'm so glad that I listened and didn't force myself to do more than I was capable of. So we need to keep things in balance. It's the secret of it. And being well connected with other people who are active and positive and tackling things, even if they're only in small steps, that's part of the secret of making the, not just making the effort, but making it in a systematic way. And you're much more motivated and you're much more likely to reach your goals when you're well connected to other people who want you to get there and who are cheering for you. So that's my personal message for today. It's a great time of the year to be reading, and I have in the past talked about various authors and various books that I've been reading, and to stimulate other people to think about what they might want to dip into. And there's an international bestseller, best-selling author, Nora Roberts, that I enjoy her books. She's particularly good when she's writing about Ireland, and the Concannon Sisters trilogy is a series that I have been reading. So Born in Fire, Born in Ice, Born in Shame, the three in the series, and they are very stimulating, very heartwarming, very well-rounded. They're not, they would appeal to anybody, really. They're not pushing a political barrow or a particular viewpoint. They're not even critical. They're more inspiring and uplifting, and they're looking for the silver lining, I guess, in whatever situations have been born out of adversity. So very stimulating. They're not, all her books are a good length. They're only around 340 pages, so you can digest them without losing sight of the plot over a few days, and do rug up well, and I find wearing those wonderful fingerless gloves a great thing when I'm reading, because then my hands don't get so cold. That's the part of me that I notice the cold most in it these days. Now, in terms of our topic for today, I want to talk about some of the big issues that are out there at the moment. I'm not interviewing anybody specifically, but I'm thinking that to tackle some of the bigger issues around climate change, around the things that the kinds of regulations that we need to bring in order to move society along, because of the seriousness of the threats that are upon us. I'm actually thinking that one way of doing this is to actually interview people on a panel, and I'm sorting out panelists that are prepared to come into the studio and help us in this way. If anyone has any particular topics and has an interest in being a panellist, please email me at annemarie, that's A-N-N-E-M-A-R-I-E, dot Koury, C-O-U-R-Y, at gmail.com, and I'll be very happy to communicate and discuss with you the possibilities. It wouldn't be a weekly thing, but we would want to have some regular people, perhaps on a monthly basis, and other people might do one-off things based on the on a particular interest they have. So going back to the big issues of the day, there have been a few people issuing warnings and issuing strategic statements about where we're at as a society. And these people are journalists who, or who are writers and thinkers who have some standing and some following in society. So I'm thinking of Rod Oram, who's been a regular journalist and commentator on Radio New Zealand for many, many years. He's done over 800 episodes, and he's always been very positive and uplifting, no matter how dire the warnings and the situation. So where he looks at business, and that's his area of commentating, business and economics, he's trying to point to the way, the pace and style of change that we need in order to deal with the threats and shock of the changes that climate change is going to bring about. And when we're looking at the international scene currently, we can see in Canada where the fires have become extreme and the temperatures 49.1, whole towns gone up, not a building left standing. These kind of outcomes are pretty dramatic, and they are indeed inflicted on people by climate change. These are sort of things that are going to happen more and more often. And it's the same with the floods that we've had here and following droughts. These are not easy for the farming community to cope with, but they also affect town folk as well. And of course, any business at the moment has got some impact from COVID, but add on the layers of changes that are coming with respect to climate change. And it's not just a tax on certain types of vehicles. That's small fry compared with some of the other changes that are coming. So we need to think about why this is necessary, and we need to actually understand this is not some plot to punish us or control us or prevent us doing X, Y, or Z. This is actually a constructive attempt by people advising government as to what ways we can move forward, how we can actually address the threats, because it's our grandchildren, most of all, who are going to have to cope with the consequences, going to live with the extremes, whether it's plagues of insects, whether it's unwanted, uncontrolled fires, whether it's floods, whether it's food shortages, whether it's water quality issues. These are all issues that are bubbling away that we need to have ways of dealing with. We can't just wait till the events happen. We certainly need to have emergency management planning done, but we need to look at how are we going to lower our carbon emissions, because that's what's driving the climate change. That's that temperature warning that's bringing about all of these effects. And it's not rocket science, as they say. I mean, it is actually, there's a direct correlation. It's able to be proven factually, evidentially. The evidence is so strong. People were talking about this 30 and 40 and 50 years ago, but at that stage they weren't taken seriously. But there's no shortage of people wanting to talk about it. There's no shortage of evidence, and there's no shortage of actual plans and advice available. It's the question is, what is palatable to people in society? What are they prepared to do? What are they prepared to change? What are they prepared to live with? And what are they prepared to live without? And I think that these questions hang over us, and whether it's whether we reduce our car use, whether we eat less meat, whether we recycle more, whether we put less waste out to the landfill. You know, these are basic questions, but they if everyone makes an effort collectively across the society, we can actually lower emissions. And it's not yet past the point of no return. People talk about the tipping point, but there is still opportunity for action. Even though the time frame is shortening all the time, it's really a question of what are we prepared to do. And it's a hard one, because in the past we've had to knuckle under and face hardship and change and unwanted restrictions. It's been because of war, because someone's been attacking us, or our friends. We've needed to mobilise, and under those conditions, people have been prepared to knuckle under. Now this is really, we are the enemy. We have actually created the situation by ignoring nature and by working against nature. We have created the environment where the carbon emissions have stacked up to such an extent that the Earth's atmosphere is heating up, and once it accelerates and the snowballing effect, it's very difficult to reduce those temperatures then. So then we have the unpleasant consequences, the unwanted fires, etc. So it's really a matter of getting real. And young people, of course, have been at great pains to have their voices heard on this, because they know they have to live with this future, and it's very scary. They're very concerned about it. They haven't got a great length of time left, and most of all, they haven't had a great deal of their life yet. We can have a wonderful time thinking about the wonderful things that happened in our lives, and we can look back, and in many ways, some of us could say we were the lucky generation. I know people 10 years older than me certainly had a great life when it was all said and done, when it was all worked out, because there was free education, and because you could get a state advances loan to get a house, and because you could retire at 60 on a pension. And those of us who've come 10 years later, we've had some of those benefits, but not all of them. And then those who've come 10 years after us have got less benefits. And so it's got to the point where our youth have got real struggles in trying to find shelter at whatever price is being exacted. The rents are horrendous, and their chances of saving for a house are not very great, unless they inherit money or get a loan from mum and dad. It's very uphill, and it's a long struggle. So when you're thinking about this situation, we have to really have solutions that allow everyone to participate, everyone to own the problem, and everyone to contribute. Otherwise, we'll end up with groups fighting, protesting in the street, reacting because they feel they're being asked to carry too much of the burden. And at the moment, I fear that's where some farmers are headed. But seriously, whatever group we identify with, whatever group we're part of, we need to think about how we can encourage our group to show leadership around this. Because it's doing it in small steps. It's making the change palatable, doable, on a daily basis. That's what's going to make the real difference. Because I know myself, by giving up driving the car for a period, I did an experiment to see how I could cope with using a bus or using public transport. And it's had its moments, and I've had my own quiet rants and raves to myself. I've grumbled when buses have been cancelled because there were no drivers for that route that night. I've had my own frustrations when I rushed for the bus and it's just pulled out from the curb just as I got to the door. I've had my own frustrations when drivers have driven past at night because they haven't seen me at the bus stop because it's not lit, and so on. But by and large, more than 90% of my journeys have been absolutely trouble-free, and the drivers have been excellent, and I couldn't have asked for a better service, really, when I think about it, compared with what the buses were like 10 years ago. They're very comfortable now, and they're very fast if you've got an express busway to travel on. And so there's no reason why, given that we're moving to electric buses, that we couldn't in 5 years have a much more effective public transport system with more people using it. But it will take a change of attitude and a shift. It will take people to put a ruler over what they currently do and think, what can I do differently here? And each person will have to do it for themselves. And a lot of people won't do it until somehow they're incentivized to do it. I mean, take the mask wearing, even though it's a very simple thing to do, to wear a mask on a bus, it's still something that some people just don't seem to be able to do. It really is quite, it's just habit. It's a habit you have to develop and replace what you used to do. I won't suggest what that might be, but I mean, basically it is easy to slip a mask on, to keep it in your pocket, whip it out, put it on for the journey, and occasionally I find that I keep mine on afterwards when I leave the bus, because it's a very good way of keeping the cold out when I'm walking against the wind. I do find it's in winter quite a good thing, whereas in summer I find it's an obstacle because it makes it harder to breathe. So generally speaking, we don't like changing our behaviour, but when we take it in hand and we think this is going to be beneficial to a lot of people, not just me, it doesn't become such a big burden. It's not really so difficult. So thinking about society, the well-being of society, and how you have an impact on society, there are several things that you can do in terms of climate change, and I'm not going to talk much more today about this. I just think this is an area that we need to explore more in discussion with panels on air, and it's certainly, we need a big conversation and a rigorous debate about what kinds of initiatives we should be addressing at the government level, at the council level, and in our homes and in our daily life. I know we've done things in the past. We've had Carless Days when the oil crisis hit, and there was the oil shock. We had in the 80s, I remember those, when I was actually travelling at least half an hour by car to work, and it was a major thing to carpool or catch public transport. And now I think actually it wouldn't be so difficult, because I'm much more used to public transport these days. I could probably do it, at the drop of a hat. And in fact, that's one of the bonuses I'm enjoying, is the fact that I've cut a lot from my fuel bill through this process. But seriously, what car you drive, and how much meat you eat, and how much you send to the landfill, they are the three big questions to deliberate about, because those are the ones that actually dictate your carbon footprint and your emissions level that you're contributing to the whole problem in society. So think about that. Think about what you might do differently, or how you might do things differently. And now we'll have a music break. I want to play for you Lorde's new single, Solar Power. And I think it's great to hear from our young New Zealand musicians that are making it on the international stage. And it's part of New Zealand's success in a lot of ways. And we have got a huge team going to the Olympics this year, over 200 of them. And I know the people speculating on how many medals we might be winning, but we've certainly got quite a crop of talent going with a good track record behind them, and plenty of energy and plenty of direction. And so it'll be interesting to see what gets delivered. Now, we'll take this break and we'll listen to Lorde, and I'll just remind you of some of the topics that we're going to be focusing on in the future when we come back.
I hate the winter, can't stand the cold. I tend to cancel all the plans.
Okay, I can't make it.
But when the heat comes, something takes a hold. Can I kick it? Yeah, I can. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. Meet the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Forget all of the tears that you've cried, it's over. Acid green, aquamarine, the girls are dancing in the sand. And I throw my cellular device in the water. Can you reach me? No, you can't. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. Lead the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, I'll tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Think three times when you feel it kicking in. That's
thinking about the programs upcoming, one of the big debates that will be coming up, as well as climate change, is the changes about how we live in cities. And I've been listening into Bill Mackay's comments on Radio New Zealand on a Monday morning, and he's imploring people to really look into national politics and the changes that are ahead in terms of planning laws and how the city will operate in terms of intensification. So, and quality of infrastructure and water, of course, is all part of that. So, you know, that will be an interesting series of topics, plus funding for New Zealand On Air and the future model of broadcasting. What will the new television radio media sector look like in terms of government structure and funding? So those are big things that we intend to cover on this program. And again, if you want to be part of any panel discussion, or you want to have the opportunity to talk with us on air, then please email me, annemarie.currie@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll tune in and we'll hear from you next time. Bye. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note, Senior Focus is one word.